All right, we are freezing. Congratulations, yeah. Let's do this. All right, I'm going to do something from Ephesians this evening. Something about, a little bit about victorious life, and then just kind of generally, more generally, you know, spiritual battles, spiritual warfare, things like that. But ultimately, the goal is, you know, victorious life. And what, figuring out and finding out what is it the Lord's trying to produce in His people, which I'll say Galatians 5 is very helpful in that. When it tells you what the fruit of the Spirit is, that tells you what God's trying to produce. And those are the things that are like Jesus Christ. And so, Ephesians chapter 6, I'm sure familiar stuff here. Got the armor of God and things like that. But starting in verse 10, Paul says this, kind of wrapping up the letter here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's important. Power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then he kind of goes through the armor. What are the pieces of armor? And, you know, they're spiritual things. But let's pray. I'll give you a few thoughts tonight on a victorious life, and really, what is it that God is trying to produce in His people? Because that is important to understand, and it's important to know what the opposition to that is. If you know what God's trying to produce, it's much easier to figure out and find out what is the opposition to those things. And so, let's pray, and we'll deal with some of these thoughts here. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for this time together. I pray that you would help us understand what we need to understand and make the applications that need to be made here. And thank you for each soul that's here this evening. And I pray that you would guide and direct us through this material. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I remember, I don't usually use the kids as examples. It's just one of those, you know, you have that opportunity as a preacher with kids to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do it too often. Kids will stop coming to church and then. I remember when Megan was learning to drive, and she's learning to drive, and one of the things that we kept kind of reinforcing was just awareness around you. You need to be aware of things that are around you. And so, you know, it's not just what's right here. It's you know, there's other stuff going on. There's a lot of other things going on. And I remember there was one time we're driving down the street, and and she's driving my truck, and she instead of pushing the brake, you push the gas more. You know, instead of switching the pedals. So I'm like, slow down, and we're just speeding up, and we're getting ready to head into this, you know, light pole. Anyway, we avoided all that stuff, and it was an eye-opening experience for everybody. And so I say those things because, you know, you're being aware of your surroundings, being aware of the context in which you live, that these are very important things, because if you're not, you end up in these situations where you're either, you know, your life can be turned upside down in a matter of you know, seconds, really. But things can change real quickly if you're not aware, and they can't even if you are. But the point is, you don't want that to unnecessarily happen. And if you're oblivious to what's around you, I say the Bible is one of these. It provides perspective and context to where you are, who you are, how you fit into a bigger picture. And I've noticed that you probably have too. But as people become more and more selfish in their own personal lives, if they do that, if they follow that road, they're less and less understanding of how they fit in and how they relate to other people and how sometimes they hurt other people and how sometimes they may even ruin people's lives and they just don't even understand what they're doing because they're so me driven. And the Bible is very, I mean, the light of the Word of God is very good about, I mean, it's the best about explaining the bigger picture in which you live and how you're supposed to operate in that and things like that. And that all said, when Paul says the things he says in Ephesians 6 here about, you know, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's the idea is some of these... you need to understand where you are, what's going on around you, what things are, what's the goal in this? What are we trying to fight? For instance, I give you an example. He says, "Be strong in the Lord." This is allowing the Lord to allowing His strength to work through you, and not relying on your own understanding, your own abilities, but let the Lord and let His light do the work and follow it and listen to it and obey it and let it do the work. What's the light? Well, the light is when He tells you and explains to you what He's trying to produce in you. For instance, like I said, Galatians 5, where you got the fruit of the Spirit. You've got these 9 things that the Lord is trying to produce in His people. And if you understand, okay, He's trying to produce, for instance, He's trying to produce kindness in me. Well, that helps me understand how to address certain situations, how to deal with certain things. It helps me understand what I'm actually fighting, because the Bible is, again, also full of people who fought battles they had no business fighting, people getting involved in things they have no business getting involved in. And so all that said, I'll give you about 3 points here. First thing is, I noted it was Paul's words, "Be strong in the Lord." And this is the principle of faith. It is trusting God, trusting what He said, trusting His promises, trusting His words, trusting His direction, and allowing all of that to be the guide and the motivation and the direction for the decisions and the things you do and the things you don't do in life. And so you find out the issues of life are largely really spiritual issues and a lot of times moral issues. The problem, yeah, we carry around this body, but the problem isn't necessarily biology. A lot of times the problem, for instance, is discipline. It's not biology. I mean, you fight against this stuff, but the problem is a moral problem. It's not your chemistry. Sometimes the problem is it's not chemistry. It's the fact that I've believed lies I shouldn't have believed. A good example in the Old Testament about a spiritual battle, and it's known everywhere. The account of David and Goliath. You put David and Goliath on a battlefield, and you just match muscle with muscle, and Goliath wins every time. He will destroy David every time. But the problem is the battle is not It's not flesh and blood. And when David sees this giant taunting and blaspheming God and taunting Israel and making fun of the God of Israel, when he sees that, this desire in him is stirred up to defend the God of Israel, to at least stand up for the God of Israel. And he's wondering, who in the world, who are you, do you think you are to say these things? And he has a different mindset than, I guess, everybody in Israel who's watching this. They're all afraid because this is a huge guy that's making these threats. David doesn't see a huge guy. He sees a blasphemer, and he sees a guy who is opposed to God. And so his mentality is, this is God's battle. Where are the people who are going to stand up for the Lord in this? And so his understanding is the right understanding. This is a spiritual matter, and it's not just going to be who's the strongest, who's the fastest, who can bench press the most, who has the best weapons, who has the best artillery. It's a matter of the Lord versus wickedness. It's a matter of the God of Israel versus this sinful nation that's just making fun of the God of Israel. And so the victory in that case, it doesn't belong to the strongest or the biggest, because that's not the battle. The battle is a spiritual battle. Now bleeds over into this physical fight that doesn't last very long, doesn't sound like. But the victory doesn't belong to the strongest and the biggest, because that's not where the battle is. The warfare isn't muscle versus muscle. It's spiritual. It's the God of Israel versus blasphemy. It's righteousness versus wickedness. And so when Paul says this, be strong in the Lord, it reminds me of David and Goliath, and there's some others in the Bible. That's just a very illustrative example of this. Being strong in the Lord. Verse 11, back to Ephesians. So be strong in the Lord. These things are spiritual matters, these battles. And if you understand what it is that God is trying to do, again, you understand where the battle is. You understand where the battle isn't. And you understand the tools you need to fight the battle. So the next thing Paul says is, put on essentially the whole armor of God. You're not going to do this with spears and arrows. What you need are things like faith, that's trusting God. You need things like righteousness, which you could say is moral behavior. It's good behavior. You need things like patience. You need things like love and kindness. You need things like gentleness. All of these things are things that the Lord is trying to produce in his people by the Spirit of God. And so how do you produce these things? You put on the spiritual armor. It's armor of light, Paul says in Romans chapter 13, I think. It's armor of righteousness. Again, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is that? To take down these imaginations and thoughts and things in your head. Well, salvation is like a helmet, they'll say. Salvation is like a helmet. It protects the mind. It protects you from certain thoughts and keeps you from despairing in times of desperation and things like that. So the armor is spiritual. You couldn't possibly work out enough in a gym to dispel these certain thoughts. You have to have salvation. You have to have faithfulness. You have to have this breastplate of righteousness, things like that. These are spiritual matters. So he says, put on the whole armor of God. It's God's armor. And really, without it, you can't fight the battles that need to be fought. And I say that in this sense, you can't You know, Paul will say, exercise profits little, things like that. But you can't exercise the body enough to make you a kind person. You can't exercise the body enough to make you a humble person. These things are spiritual matters. And this is really where the battles are won and lost. So he says, put on the armor of God. Third thing is this. You know, if you know what God is trying to produce, you understand kind of where you are in these circumstances of life as a Christian. You understand where you are. You understand where the battles are supposed to be because you understand what God's trying to produce in his people. And it helps you understand the mission. And, you know, if you don't understand what the purpose or the point of some of these things that come into your life are, or some of this opposition to you know, some of these fruit of the Spirit, if you don't understand what you're not going to understand what you're fighting against, and therefore, if you don't understand what you're fighting against, you can't stand. I mean, it's like being shot at, and you don't know where the arrows are coming from. You just don't know where this stuff's coming from. You don't even know what direction you're supposed to aim the gun because you have no idea where this stuff's coming from. But this is why these things are important. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the armor of God. Understand this, what God's trying to produce. And so you do that. You understand what you're aiming at. Where's the target here? It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. For instance, the target in some scenario may not, it's not the person. The target is for the Lord. The target is love, or the target is long suffering. Maybe that's the target. And so if that's what you're trying to aim at, that's what the Lord's trying to aim you at. Well, then that helps you understand the decisions you need to make in gaining a victory. And so there's another example in the New Testament that reminds me of all of this, these battles and things. I remember when Peter's in the garden with Jesus Christ. Jesus gets betrayed by Judas, and the soldiers are about to arrest Jesus Christ, and Peter decides he's going to fight. He isn't going to let this happen. And so he pulls out a sword, and he takes a swing at one of the soldiers and ends up cutting the soldier's ear off and all that. And they finally, Jesus calms the whole thing down and heals Malchus's ear and all that. But the whole episode, it explains that Peter didn't understand what the battle was. He didn't understand where the battleground was. It wasn't against the soldiers. Jesus Christ is going to the cross to satisfy the wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ has to go to the cross to do that so that the Father will be satisfied, so that a man will finally die a satisfactory death to the Father. And so now that man, Jesus Christ, can represent all of humanity before the Father. Well, Peter doesn't understand that. He just wants to fight. He wants to see Jesus get arrested. And so he ends up fighting the wrong battle. He ends up using the wrong tools. You know, the sword isn't going to help him in this case. The thing that helps him in this case is understanding the words of God, understanding what Jesus Christ has told him over and over is going to happen. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again. And he said that multiple times. But if it didn't ever sink in, and so Peter thinks the battle is against the soldiers. We need to fight the soldiers off. And then Jesus has to correct him, which, by the way, I think that's why Peter ends up getting mad. I mean, if you read, just a side note, if you read just a little bit before that, Jesus had just told the disciples, you know, get a sword, all that. And so Peter got a sword, and now Peter is going to use the sword. And when he uses the sword, you know how the adrenaline gets going and all that kind of stuff. And he uses the sword. And then Jesus scolds him about it and says, don't do that. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. And Peter's like, okay, you have made me so frustrated with you. I tried to preserve your life. I tried to save your life. I tried to help you in this situation at my own expense. And this is how I'm treated? Okay, I don't know you then. Fine, I don't know you. And so he finds himself at the, you know, by the fire, and people are asking him, I think you're one of those disciples. And Peter's like, I don't know who that is. I don't know that guy. But all that comes from not listening to what Jesus Christ had been saying the whole time and explaining the ministry. So Peter thinks the battle's here, so he's going to use a sword to fight this battle, and he tries, but that's the wrong thing. That's the wrong tools to, that's the wrong weapons to be using. It's the wrong battlefield. All of that stuff is wrong. Why? Because he doesn't understand the mission. He doesn't understand what God's will in this is. There's a couple of other ones. I'll give you one more. It reminds me of what we talked about last week with Josiah getting involved in Egypt's warfare. And I don't know, he just got something in his mind that he needs to be involved in fighting Egypt. And so he does, even though he's warned multiple times, don't do it. This isn't for you. This is not your fight. Stay out of it. This isn't your business. Stay out of it. But in his mind, it's his business, and he needs to be involved in it, and he needs to be the hero. And so he inserts himself into this battle that is not God's will for him, for sure. And it gets killed in the process. It dies an early death in the process. The point is, you be strong in the Lord. You put on the full armor of God. You understand what God's trying to produce, and this helps you understand why the armor is what it is and why you have to be strong in the Lord. And you understand these things with, again, last time I'll say this, but Galatians 5 is great about this when it describes the fruit of the Spirit, and it helps me understand, okay, if this is what the Lord is trying to produce in my life, then I also now understand where the battle is. And I also understand what tools will be effective for the battle. And this it's a good encouragement and a good admonition. Take up the strength of God at the end. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So this is how you're going to be able to do that. So I hope that's helpful. That's some things about a victorious life and spiritual warfare. Just the kind of things that you have to deal with as a Christian in life. And really everyone sort of deals with this, but the Christians, if you're a Christian, you believe the words of God, and you got that light to understand where the context is and where you fit into all of this and where God fits into all of this and what he's trying to do with you. So hope that's helpful. Let's pray, and we'll take some prayer requests. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. I pray you to help us apply these things. Help us learn what we need to learn from these good verses here, and good instruction that provides some context in where we live and what you're trying to do with us. So I pray you'd help us with these things, and stay out of the things we shouldn't be involved in, and be engaged in the things we should be. And so I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.